B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Legendary Pink Floyd drummer Nick Mason joins me today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown. We talk about his Saucer Full of Secrets tour, the 70s prog rock scene, bands covering Pink Floyd, as well as new music he might have discovered recently.
I think with dementia setting in, everything's new to me now.
At 75, why does he continue to keep touring and play music? We talk about his car racing, of course the feud between Roger and David, and whether or not he was kind of playing mediator.
Trying to invent peace where it doesn't exist.
And that's just for starters with Nick Mason from Pink Floyd today on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Thank you so much for checking out the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. A lot of good stuff coming up today with Nick Mason from Pink Floyd. He's got this Saucer Full of Secrets tour, which he's bringing stateside. And this is really just about the early days of Pink Floyd. And we actually talk about that and why he didn't decide to play, you know, some of the later material in the set list. And we'll tell you about that coming up here in just a bit. We talk about vinyl, how the songs went overseas, and the whole genesis of how this took place. Speaking of genesis, we do talk about the 70s prog rock scene as well. Hey, coming up after Nick, we've got rock news with news on Ozzy canceling more tour dates. Mike Shinoda talks about the future of Linkin Park as well. Duff McKagan heading out on tour, not with Guns N' Roses, Iron Maiden news, as well as the dirt, the trailer for Motley Crue's documentary or biopic, I guess you'd call it, was released this week, and we kind of go through that and talk a little bit about the dirt, which is going to be released on Netflix on March 22nd. So if you get a chance, stick around and check out Al Beck and myself talking rock news. But first, it's Nick Mason. You know, here at the radio station, sometimes things don't work as well as they should, including recording devices. My Pro Tools went on the fritz before I was supposed to talk to Nick, and I hate doing this, but I had to put him on hold for like a minute because I had the engineer in here trying to get this Pro Tools rig working. In case you don't know what that is, it's just this computer system that, you know, is pretty commonplace in recording studios, and it goes on the fritz periodically, and I had the engineer in here help me out, and finally we made the connection. And like I said, I hated putting a legend like Nick Mason on hold, but I really wanted to get this interview in, and so he was kind enough to just wait for us for a couple minutes. And here's the conversation today with Nick Mason from Pink Floyd on Talkin' Rock.
I'm very good, thank you.
Hey,
yourself.
We got technical issues, you know, Pro Tool things, you know how that goes, so...
Oh, right.
Yeah, but we're all set right now. So, hey, thanks so much for taking the time out, man. Saucer's Full of Secrets heading to the United States April 9th here in Detroit. How's this been going for you overseas?
Well, it's been absolutely terrific. We only kicked off sort of last, beginning of the summer last year. We did 4 pub gigs in the UK to see how it went, and people really liked it. So we've actually done quite a lot of Europe just before Christmas, and we're really having fun doing it.
Yeah, I guess that's pretty much probably the key, right? Just to have fun and go out there and play all these songs. What kind of songs have been getting the best reaction from the crowds overseas?
Well, it's mixed in terms of which are the most popular, because it covers quite a broad period of time. It's really the first 5 years of what we did. So it's everything before Dark Side of the Moon. And I think but in some cases, people assume that because Dark Side was the big album, that that's where we started, which of course isn't the case. We had, you know, we actually had 5 or 6 albums before that. And so there's a lot of material. And so in some ways, there's something for everyone. There's the sort of wild, sort of improvised psychedelia. There's a sort of the English country, sort of almost country music. And then the beginnings of all the sort of Pink Floyd, I suppose you'd call them classics, really, Set the Controls and One of These Days.
Well, I guess I'd call every Pink Floyd song a classic.
Oh, well, that's good.
yeah, it's funny. You know, I've talked to a lot of you guys recently from the 70s, you know, prog rock scene and stuff. I had Carl Palmer on recently and Steve Hackett and whatnot. And it's always interesting to talk to you guys and find out, why do you think that was like a big decade for what you guys did?
Well, I think it was probably, like most things, it's a mixture of different elements. But one thing that happened was that the timing was right, that actually music had almost, for a while, was eclipsing Hollywood, and it was sort of big news. I mean, the Beatles really kicked all that off, and it made a big difference, because if you look at the world now, it's young musicians are absolutely as good as we ever were, if not better. But it's just much more difficult to get heard because there's so much other stuff going on. Whereas, you know, there's games and films and just everything. And at that time, just people took music really seriously.
Yeah, I think people back in the day, they had more, they weren't patience to put a record on and just let it play and just listen to the entire thing.
Absolutely. And the big thing, of course, was to get a vinyl record out, open it up, roll a spliff on the back of the album cover and move on. But whereas now it's everyone rushing about and they want to, you know, they just want sort of almost sound bites of songs rather than listen to the whole thing properly.
Yeah. Are you discovering new music?
No, I think with dementia setting in, everything's new to me now. And what is fun is just really revisiting the older material, because you sort of remember it, but you don't remember it properly, and you don't realize in some cases how complex it is. So it's quite fun sort of unraveling it and thinking about how to play it again.
Yeah. I just, you know, obviously you just made news talking about David Gilmour and Roger and whatnot, and I saw a quote from you, and this isn't the exact quote, but it was something along the lines of when you first started, you know, you had a van so you could bring all your drum stuff, and then it's like you were the drummer, and then, you know, you became the drummer, and they couldn't get rid of you, and then you kind of became the mediator. Is that something along the, am I getting that right?
Not quite. I don't think I've ever really been the mediator. What I've tended to say, I'm actually not Henry Kissinger of rock and roll. I'm more Neville Chamberlain trying to invent peace where it doesn't exist.
Yeah, no peace, yeah. At 75, I mean, you're still interested in touring. You're still interested in playing music, huh?
Absolutely love it. And I mean, my experience of this particular band is it's almost like a time machine to 50 years ago. There's that enthusiasm to play and to work together that's absolutely remindful of early Pink Floyd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just talked about vinyl and stuff. What are your thoughts on the resurgence of vinyl?
I think it's terrific, but I think it's still going to remain a sort of niche market, just because I think people are so used to listening to music in less effective forms. People live in smaller spaces now, I think, particularly in Europe, and there isn't necessarily room for those two enormous speaker cabinets that you used to take up in the living room.
Yeah, I don't have enormous speaker cabinets like I used to when I was a kid, but I still have some, and I got my vinyl up in a crank. And hey, here on the riff in Detroit, we play Avenged Sevenfold, and they covered Wish You Were Here. Did you hear that song?
Oh, yeah. No, haven't heard that. But I have to say, I would really like hearing our songs covered by other people when they do their own interpretations of it. You know, I'm less enthusiastic about tribute bands where everything is done as accurately as possible. I prefer things like The Dub Side of the Moon, or even there was a country and western band called Luther Wright and the Wrongs who did the entirety of The Wall as a country and western album.
Huh. Yeah, you've probably seen all sorts of bands cover your material, right?
Yeah, it's really alarming. Some of them are far better than I am.
Yeah, I think I read something about that you were afraid to, maybe a little bit precautious about going on tour, because you didn't think you could do it as good as some of the cover bands.
That's right. It's a big worry.
Yeah. So how long have you been playing with this particular band that you're going on tour with?
It's really quite new. We put it together in the spring of last year, and we did a few gigs in London, mainly pub gigs, which was terrific. I mean, I hadn't played in... We actually played in the Half Moon Pub in Putney, which I think the last time I'd been there was sort of 52 years ago. And then people really liked it, so we took it out to Europe and had a great time.
Yeah. You know, do you ever sit back and think about the legacy of Pink Floyd?
I try not to. I think it's what's always interesting is sort of what you're doing now. And I think one of the reasons this band exists is because we actually spent quite a lot of effort a couple of years ago putting an exhibition together in London at the V&A Museum, which is sort of traveling around now. And it was that really was a sort of look back through history. And it was really interesting to do it, but at the end of the day, you come away and you go, but the bit I really like is what I'm doing now and playing music rather than this is what I did 30 years ago.
So one of the other things I really wanted to touch base with you here is as far as talking to you is concerned was talking about the auto racing and the cars and stuff. Now, how big is your car collection?
By English standards, it's pretty big. By American standards, it's fairly pathetic.
Now, have you been to like Jay Leno's shop or anything like that?
Yeah, no, definitely. I have a lot of friends in the U.S. with great cars. It's one of the best ways of making friends, really.
Yeah, I saw a picture of you and Roger recently, you know, from like 1989 or something with your Ferraris and stuff. And there are some people that'll never own a Ferrari. You own one like, you know, 40 years ago or 30 years ago or whatever. But it's like, I mean, how many cars do you think you have?
Well, I think I try not to count because it sounds a little excessive. But I think I'm down to about 40 at the moment.
Okay, 40. I asked James Hetfield one time how many cars he had, and he didn't know how many he had. So at least you're in the ballpark,
yeah.
I suppose.
Well,
and you're racing and all that kind of stuff still, huh?
Yeah, well, I'm doing less racing now, but I'm very fortunate that my kids all like racing, and one of my daughters did the right thing and married a professional race driver.
Oh, is that right?
So I've got someone to put in the car if I'm not going to do it myself.
I think that I just saw. Weren't you just racing over the weekend, or didn't you just run something over the weekend?
No.
No. Okay.
It's not racing season here. It's still dark and wet.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, same thing here in Detroit. And hopefully by the time you come through in April, the sunshine will be out. So,
yeah.
Hey, real
should
fast.
Be spring.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, it should be. That's the whole thing around here. We're not exactly sure. But hey, final thing here for you, Nick. Do you ever see a day when the guys get back together and maybe play again?
I have no idea on that one. It's the question everyone would like answered, but I don't really think so. I think Roger and David really are happier doing their own things and not working together. It'd be great if they did. You know, I'm ready. I might even be in practice, but I'm certainly not going to hold my breath.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Hey, Nick, well, listen, man, thanks so much for the time. Saucerful of Secrets, April 9th here at the Fillmore. And good luck. Looking forward to seeing us and, of course, bringing it over stateside. Thank you.
Great. Thanks a lot for talking to me.
The legendary Nick Mason here on the Talking Rock with Meltdown podcast. Got to thank him for the time to talk with us today, man. Some really good stuff right there. And, if you get a chance, go out and see Nick. If you're in the Southeast Michigan area, he's going to be playing in Detroit April 9th at the Fillmore in downtown Detroit. So go out and check him out. I saw some video of this tour online on YouTube and whatnot, and it looks really killer. So got to thank Nick once again for checking in. And thank you for listening. Rock News with Al Beck coming up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
All right, Al Beck joins us here with the rock news that you can use or not. You can lose. I don't really care what you do with it. But
what a setup.
I know it, really. Well, you know, only the best for you. Yeah. Hey, real fast before we start.
Sure.
You know, so you still haven't seen Spinal Tap, have you?
No, I've seen Spinal Tap.
It's the Queen movie. That's right.
Yeah.
So anyways, so the guys from Anvil are coming through town, coming up here in like a month or something. And my friend Don Jameson is opening up, so I'm going to go see the show and what have you. And so that Anvil documentary floats around on Netflix. Now, I've seen it before. Have you seen that yet?
That I have not seen.
Okay, so it's very Spinal Tap, but it's real.
Yeah, okay.
And it's about, you know, Anvil from Canada.
Yeah.
And these guys, you know, they were supposedly on their way up in the mid, you know, early to mid 80s.
Yeah, I know, like, a lot of bands were influenced by them. Wouldn't Metallica have...
Well, that's the thing, too. Like, they have, like, Lars on there and Slash and stuff talking about how influential this band was and what have you. They could have taken these clips of them talking about Diamond Head or something. Okay. I don't even know.
Yeah, fair enough.
But, but anyway, so I was just watching that last night, so that's kind of, you know, just floating around my head right now. If you get a chance, check out the Anvil. It's somewhat amusing. It's somewhat what's the word I'm looking for? It's somewhat sad.
Okay,
you know that these guys have you know they've held on to the dream for so long.
Right.
And this was I want to say this was around the mid 2000s, like maybe 2007, 2008, something along the lines of that. And they were just turning like 50 then, and so now they're still plugging away here in 2019.
Yeah, I was gonna say, didn't they have a little bit of an uptick in popularity when that documentary came out? Like, I seem to remember an album coming out. Like, I didn't see the documentary, but I remember it. I remember the name.
Yeah.
And I remember that it happened. And I seem to remember, you know, some people were actually like checking them out for a little bit.
Well, Lars said something interesting that, you know, could it have been, you know, their Canadian. Yes, if that's even a word, because it's like
they're,
you know,
Canadium.
Yeah, they're yeah. that kind of kept them from, you know, blowing up worldwide and stuff. And so, if you've seen the documentary, hit me up on you know, social media at Meltdown WRIF or leave us a voicemail 248-586-2988.
I'm sure Rush will have something to say about that Canadium keeping them back.
Yeah, sometimes, you know what, you go, you know, the Rush doesn't transcend as far as you would think either. There's a certain, you know, listen, there's a, I could rattle off all sorts of bands right now that were big in Canada that you probably never even heard of. And I mean, obviously, you're younger than I am, but it's like there's just a certain thing. You know, you've heard the Tea Party, right?
No.
Tea Party, I mean, they've been slogging through Canada for years. You've heard the Tragically Hip, right?
Yes.
Okay, the Tragically Hip, I mean, they practically shut down Canada for their final show that they did, right? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. I like the new segment, which bands has Al heard of?
Yeah, we used to do this, Canadian band or Fish, or whatever they say, right?
Yeah, I like that.
So, you know, you a band like the Tragically Hip, they practically shut down the whole, real fast, I don't want to get off on this whole thing, but anyways, and now I am, but so what happened was Gord Downie, the lead singer, he found out he had some sort of you know, terminal brain tumor and brain cancer or something like that. So they do this final tour, right?
Sure.
And I actually wrote a blog about this. How, think about how heavy it is knowing that you're going on stage for the last time. Like, it's not like a Motley Crue or Ozzy farewell tour or anything like that, right?
Yeah.
This guy is like literally going on stage for the last time.
You're right.
So they play their final show in Kingston, Ontario. And I mean, it was like, it was in the summer, like 2 years ago or something like that. I mean, that Canada shut down. Like, it was on, like, you know, TV, and like the place was obviously, you know, capacity, you know, whatever the big arena they have out there in Kingston and whatnot.
Yeah.
And it was their last show. And then Gord died, you know, 6 months later or something like that.
Wow.
So I wrote this blog about it, and it got shared like 150 times. And here I was just throwing something out there, just like, you know, I'm like, eh, whatever. You
I
know?
Need something for the website. Yeah.
So anyways, what I'm saying is, you take Tragically Hip and put them somewhere like in Texas, and they're playing in bars. You know, but in Canada, they are gigantic. So that's what I'm talking about, the Canadian-ness. I don't know if it translates sometimes with some bands. Some bands it does. Yeah. You know, Triumphs and the Rushes of the world and Nickelbacks. Alanis Morissette's or whoever. But anyways, you know, so I don't know. So I got off on this Anvil tangent, so sorry about that.
No, not at all.
But anyways, we just talked about Ozzy and his farewell tour again, so... And I guess that's not going so well.
It's not going very well at all, Meltdown. As we know, he had come down with about a pneumonia, and he had to cancel a bunch of UK dates. Now, as we're hearing, he had to cancel some more dates, these ones in Australia, for more health reasons. Now, the last update we had heard on his health was that he was out of the intensive care unit, so things were looking up. But doctors have ordered him to not continue that next leg of the tour.
Yeah, when you see things like Ozzy's breathing on his own, it's like, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
So
it's really, really scary, and I don't like the irony of the fact that it's No More Tours is the name of the tour.
Well, this is No More Tours too.
Yes,
because I saw the first one, which was like 25 years ago.
Oh, you know that? Right. Yeah.
And so, hey, let me tell you real quick, Ozzy thing. So I was growing up as a huge Ozzy fan, and you know, I still am, but like that was the one guy I really wanted to meet in my life, right? It took me, I think, to the seventh or eighth try to meet Ozzy. I had interviews lined up with him, and then he'd cancel his show. I was going to do meet and greets, and then he wouldn't. He was sick and didn't feel like, you know, all this stuff. And I finally met him on a runway in Cincinnati when we took a private jet down to Cincinnati to see him, and we raced back there to meet him before his jet left.
Oh, yeah.
The story's actually a lot longer and more in detail like this, but I spent too much time talking about Anvil.
So Ozzy's taking a backseat to Anvil now. Like, they've really arrived.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Number one on this podcast, Anvil.
Anyways.
Sharon does say that he's through the worst of it, does seem to be on the mend. They're just more of a precautionary decision to take him off the road. He is supposed to be continuing the North American leg of the tour as scheduled.
Maybe I'll get Anvil on the show coming up here.
There you go.
The lead singer needs some more exposure. So,
yeah. Well, moving on.
Yeah, I was like, whatever, just keep going.
More Anvil, yeah. Looking at the future of Linkin Park, Mike Shinoda talking about it. It does sound like there are plans for Linkin Park to move forward, to continue making some new music. Shinoda even says that we all thrive on making and performing music. He says that all the guys of the band love being on stage. They love being in the studio. So to not do that, he says, it feels almost like it would be unhealthy, which of course brings up the question of what will Linkin Park look like with Chester Bennington no longer with us. And he does say, this is what's interesting, is it's not my goal to look for a new singer. If it does happen, and that's if it does happen, it has to happen naturally.
Yeah, I'm thinking like that Machine Gun Kelly, who of course plays Tommy Lee in the Dirt, which we'll get to here in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. But you know, a guy like that, or somebody who's like kind of like bubbling under a little bit, you know, and people kind of know a little bit. Yeah. I don't know if you could put somebody like huge in there. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see where this goes, because I don't know. I like those guys.
Yeah.
Mike Shinoda is a super good dude. So is Chester Bennington. Every time I've had a chance to interact with those guys, they've been really nice. Yeah. And I pull for him, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, like you said, that's all we can do at this point. They do want to do something, though, is the what we're kind of walking away from that story with. Speaking of stuff maybe in the works, we've talked a lot about Guns N' Roses maybe doing some new material. Looks like it is going to be happening, you know. But what is happening for sure, Duff McKagan of GNR did announce some concert dates coming up here, and also teased some new music of his own, all solo stuff.
Yeah, and that, of course, pushes back any Guns N' Roses stuff that we're going to hear. So, you know, Slash is out on tour. Richard Fortus and Slash have both said that they'll get back in the studio after, Slash gets done with his tour and whatnot. But, these tour cycles nowadays, you know, they take a year and a half, sometimes 2 years. Like, if you just watch Stone Sour guys, I think they were out there for, you know, 18 months, 20 months, something like that. So, we'll see what happens as far as GNR is concerned. But Slash and Miles and those guys are going to get their run off their latest record, Living the Dream. And I'm sure Duff will do the same. So,
yeah. Now, this next one, I have mixed feelings about stuff like this. Iron Maiden, they've been doing a bunch of reissues over the last few years between like 2014 to 2017. And it looks like they do have another collection coming out, the Studio Collection Remastered, which is coming out here in March. I feel, and it's going to be, you know, CD and Digipak available, also going to be streaming on, you know, your streaming services and stuff. Sometimes this is where I have mixed feelings about it. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just want to hear the album as it was. And sometimes there's always like these extra, like the demo version of Run to the Hills. Like, I really don't care. I don't need that.
Well, ever since I got back into vinyl, you know, my thing has just been to just put the record on and walk away.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to hear, because, you know, they don't, that's not an accident how those records are, you know, how the songs are put in order and different things. And I want to hear how they were meant to be listened to.
Right.
You know.
But if you're a big Iron Maiden fan and you want to check out some of these remastered collections, going to be made available here March 22nd. Which is a date, another release date shared by another project we've been talking about, and you even just mentioned a little while ago, Motley Crue, the biopic The Dirt. We do have the trailer officially that is available now.
Yeah, the trailer. Let's check this out. So if you've seen the trailer out there, of course, it's all over the place. It's on our website at WRIF.com and whatnot, but let's see if we can check this out.
It could have happened to anybody. But it didn't. It happened to us.
Now, right off the bat, it's like, who's talking? Because it doesn't sound like any of the guys. That's the right. one thing that really kind of bothered me when I watched this trailer first. It's like, you know, Nikki and Vince and those kind of guys, and even Tommy, you know, you've heard so much from them over the years.
Yeah.
They, you know, you got to get their voice at least, you know, in the right cadence or, yeah. you know, tenor, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't know who that was talking. Let's watch here.
This is a true story.
And this can be something nobody's ever seen before.
Oh, my God. Those are my pants.
What?
Those leopard prints?
So much better on me.
That was, yeah, Machine Gun Kelly as Tommy Lee. Looks like he did a good part. Looks like they had to use the makeup to cover up his tattoos and
right,
stuff.
Right.
So.
We got the runaway. A kid drummer. An old man.
Let's just play it.
You say you're gonna be a rock star.
What do you think?
Some of it seems a little bit cheesy because you're watching yeah. guys pretending to be Motley Crue.
Yeah.
But I don't know. The more I watch this trailer, more I'm like, okay, cool. Now listen, I'm definitely gonna watch it probably the first day it comes
out.
Yeah,
of course, yeah.
But you know.
Holy shit.
If we want to knock people on their asses, then we've got to give them a show.
That's supposed to be Nikki talking right there.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm talking like a stadium show in the clubs. The fans, they're dying for some anarchy. So let's give it to them.
I work for Electra Records. You guys like a record too?
Some pretty cool concert footage. You got to give it to these Netflix, man. They really spend a lot of money filming these things because that
yeah,
scene with the band, they're live.
Yeah.
It had to have been expensive.
I've noticed as my subscription continues to rise.
So now they're in the strip club, and Vince and Mick are right there. I see Nikki and Tommy are all there.
I had managed the Scorpions, Bon Jovi, Skid Row, Kiss. But I have never been through what Motley Crue put me through.
I am sick and tired of not having any fun. Everything's upside down and flip-flopping.
Ooh, strangers to the accident. That was with the dude from Hanoi Rocks, I think, right?
Yeah.
Man.
Controversy.
Vince Neil was charged with vehicular manslaughter.
Tommy Lee and Heather Locklear have separated.
It's a degenerative bone disease.
Talking about Mick right there. And, you know, Tommy Lee... Boy, he starts thinking about, that's right, he was with, what's her name there? And of course, Pamela Anderson and
yeah.
the whole thing. Heather Locklear.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Nikki Six has overdosed.
I know it's not going to be easy, but I believe in you guys.
Win it all or lose it all. We are Molly.
The upside down drum, and there you go. That looked just like Tommy Lee in the hallway.
It did. It really
exactly
did.
Like. TV lands on top of this dude's car out on the road.
Molly Brew, here all week.
There you go. So the dirt. Yeah, like I said, I'll probably watch it the first day it comes out.
It'll be March 22nd is the date that it will be coming up on Netflix.
All right, there you go. Give your socials. Let's do this.
At Albeck Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
All right, at Meltdown WRIF and at Talking Rock with One. Hey, guys, once again, 248-586-2988. If you want to leave some feedback on the Talking Rock with Meltdown podcast, we do believe we do appreciate that. And thank you so much for listening to Talking Rock. I've got some great interviews coming up here in the next few days you're going to want to listen back to. I think... one of them from a band going to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and one from a guy who's already in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's coming up here with Talking Rock with Meltdown. So subscribe, check back, and share with your friends. And thanks for listening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.